So after one has decided where they'd like to put the mezuzah, and that has been clarified, so now we need to discuss how one should hang up the mezuzah. The mezuzah must be attached to the doorpost at the bottom and the top of the mezuzah. The mezuzah may not hang. That is totally unacceptable, and that would be puzzle. And this is clear from all of the poskim. Rav Nissen Karel to the Lekhet Hilchos Mezuzah says if you put the mezuzah upside down and then you were to fix it, let's say you realize that you flipped everything around and you had to put it right side up, you'd have to make a new bracha because that first putting up the mezuzah upside down was totally invalid and puzzle. In the Mezuzah Spesach, Rav Chaim Kanievsky cites the Sefer HaEshkol, who says there's no issue of putting up the mezuzah at night. And this is clear from Rav Chaim Pelagi and the Chaim Biyad. The Steichemet is a piece of this in the Mareches HaMezuzah and the Agrabah Alech as well. Why would I have such a havamina that I should not put up a mezuzah at night? It would be invalid because the Ben Yishchai writes in Parshas Kisavo that there are many mezikin, there's many types of dangerous spirits at night, and that would be negative for putting up the mezuzah at that time. He has such a havamina, an inkling to say that one should not put up the mezuzah at night, but he says that regardless, we do put up the mezuzah at night, and we should have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah as soon as possible and not delay. So there's no question whatsoever that the mezuzah may be put up during the nighttime. What should be used to put up the mezuzah? So the Torah says very clearly we should use nails to hang the mezuzah. And the Aruch HaShulchan says you can use glue. One should just be aware when reading Sfarim and Lashon HaKodesh the difference between devek and nayar devek. Devek does not mean, as in modern Hebrew, tape. Devek means glue. So if you were reading all these Sfarim and thought they were talking about tape, they're not talking about tape. They're talking about glue. Devek is glue. And in this case, the Aruch HaShulchan says you can use glue to put up a mezuzah. There's no difference between glue or nails because they both have a chibur gamur. They create a strong connection from the mezuzah to the wall, and that is perfectly fine. Everyone says you can use glue. The Chalkas Yaakov, the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Avadja, the Shevet Alevi, and the Agrabah Halacha all saying that glue, if you want to use that, would be fine to put up the mezuzah. The Mishnah Halachos in Chelek Dalet, Rav Menashe Klein says that tape cannot be used to affix a mezuzah because it does not hold the mezuzah in a most permanent manner. And the Chus Vanago says you're only yotzei b'diavad with tape, and that is the opinion of some poskim, but I think it is certainly the opinion of most poskim, including Rav Yashav, in the Ashrei HaIsh and the Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Dalet and the Agrabah Halacha in Chelek Yud, in Perek Yud, that if you have good strong tape and you know for sure you have a good strong double-sided tape and it will hold up the mezuzah for a very, very long time for the foreseeable future without an issue, it would be perfectly fine to put up the mezuzah with strong tape to bind it in place. Regarding Scotch tape, which is not as strong as usual tape, so the Shevet HaLevi writes in Chelek Dalet that Scotch tape is unacceptable because it does not hold strongly. However, Rabbi Shachter brings in the Nefesh HaRav that he saw in Onset, Massachusetts, where Rabbi Soloveitchik's summer home was, that the mezuzahs were held up with Scotch tape. So we have a Maisa Rav that perhaps Scotch tape is fine, but I would think that the Minhag HaOlam is to use something a little bit stronger and better quality than Scotch tape, to have a nice, strong, double-sided tape. Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Asher Ish in Yerodea as discussing using Velcro, if you wanted to use such a thing. And he says that there is a possibility, but he says that you can be, since you can use, he feels that you can use Velcro and a magnet to hold up the mezuzah, because there's no reason why the magnet should lose its power over time, or the Velcro, and therefore that would be perfectly acceptable to use those things. I don't know what a Velcro mezuzah looks like, but it would be fine according to Rav Yashar. The Pisrei Sharim says he doesn't think it's sufficient, but certainly relying on this psak and then Rav Yashar would be fine. Now, inserting the mezuzah into the wall. If anyone has walked around the Old City of Yerushalayim or any older communities, they know that in the doorposts they would carve out sections to put in the mezuzah itself into the door. So where does that come from? So what if within the entranceway there's a permanent inner wall that sticks out more than a tefach? Meaning the Gemara Menachos tells us that certainly one can put the mezuzah inside the wall. Without question, there's no problem that as long as it doesn't go more than a tefach deep. meaning it has to, you could, the hole where you're going to put the mezuzah into the wall can't be more than a tefach. It has to be a tefach from the edge of the wall itself. Now, this raises an issue nowadays. It's hard to describe it, but I think we can do it well. Let's say you have something like an accordion door, where you have the doorpost, and when the accordion door is pushed all the way closed, so it creates essentially about a foot of space where the door sits closed, and that space is always inaccessible. No matter how much you push the accordion door closed, or if it's open, there's always going to be a foot of accordion door that's smushed up against the doorpost that is inaccessible, that a person is never going to walk there because the door the accordion doorway is never going to come out of the way. And therefore, what you have is similar to this over here. What you have is the doorpost, but then this, no matter how far it's moved in, is always going to stick out. So what's going to turn out is that the mezuzah is going to be over here, but it's going to be from this seemingly extra entrance, this extra Pesach, it's going to be a tefach deep inside where this sliding door or accordion door sits. So what should you do now? Because what it turns out is that the mezuzah is going to be more than a tefach away from where the Pesach is. And that might be a problem according to the Gemara in Menachos. So the consensus of Rov Poskim is that the mezuzah should be on the inner wall that sticks out. The inner wall that sticks out from the larger wall. And this is, if it's on a wider entrance, then it would be pasul, since it's a tefach into the wall. And this is the opinion of the Das Kedoshim, the Eisan Aryeh, Rav Yashuv in the Torah HaMitzvah, Ruchan Kanievsky, the Chovas Ador. Everyone agrees that if you have this piece where the wall juts out partially, and therefore the mezuzah is sitting on the wall itself, so then you don't have it within a tefach, you have it deeper than a tefach of the wall. However, there's a story that is brought in the Agrabah Alecha in Perek Yud Gimel, where he heard that Rav Shlomo Zalman went to be Menachem Avol Rav Meir Chadash, and he saw that the mezuzah was on the outer part of the entrance more than a tefach from the part that stuck out. And when he pointed this out to Rav Meir Chadash, so Rav Meir Chadash says, I'm not changing the mezuzah. This is the way it stood on the mezuzah of Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, the Rosh Yeshiva in Slobodka, and therefore he felt that that was perfectly fine. Regardless, we see that the minhag is that it should be not on this inner part, but rather on the piece of the doorpost that sticks out. And there comes with three nafkaminas, all cited in the Chovas Hador. The first is the case of the accordion door. When the accordion door is constricted all the way against the wall, and it's permanently in there, so then what you have is essentially the doorpost is being further out than where the mezuzah sits against the wall itself. And the Kovetz Mibeis Levi says the mezuzah should be placed on the doorway normally, and the accordion door is simply not a factor at all. And this is the sheet of the Agrabah Alecha, and in such a case, the mezuzah would get a bracha. The Chovas Hador has a chumrah. He says that if you ever have this case where the accordion door, when it is closed, still is more than a tefach away, he says that you should build a fake wall. You should take a piece of wood that's 10 tefachim high and place it over here. Place it over here. So now what you have is a new doorpost, and therefore that will get around this issue of what to do with this hanging piece over here. That is a chumra of the Chovas Hador. It is certainly not the minhag. He brings a second case. This is much more common, a sliding door. Two glass sliding doors that you have perhaps going in from the backyard into your house. In most of these cases, only one door actually slides. The other door is permanent in place, and it's not supposed to move. You want to have two panes of glass, but one of the glass panes doesn't move. It stays there, and only what the glass on the other side slides back and forth. So the question is, where is the Pesach? Is the Pesach on the actual frame of the entire doorway entrance, or should the mezuzah go on the edge of that pane of glass that doesn't move? Because essentially, that is now the new Pesach, because you can't move that around. So the Chuvos HaHanagos in Chelek Gimel and the Agrabah Alecha in Perek Yud Gimel say that even if there's something in the way, it is ignored, and the mezuzah goes on the regular Pesach. You ignore this, you ignore the pane of glass that doesn't move, and it goes against the proper entranceway. And the Chovas Hador is Machmer, and he gives the same suggestion as above, and he notes that one of the Chachmim Yushalayim said that maybe this is an entrance without a Pesach, and it's Patzur Lagamre, because it has this pane of glass. Yeah.
Even the two doors, the noise, like that at the end of Rish Pizayim, that you would have one, this is a
It's not two doors. Again, let's imagine the space we're standing in right here. This, you have two panes of glass, right? Here. This pane of glass doesn't move. You just want to have two windows so it's bright in the room. This doesn't move. And when you come in from... It's not able to open. It's permanently stuck. And this pane of glass slides back and forth so you can come in and out. So this isn't moving anywhere. So the Havamina is... That maybe, and some poskim do say this, that maybe it should go over here. If you're, let's say you're putting a mezuzah on the right side coming in, it should be in the outside of that center of that piece of glass that's on the left side, so that it's right over here, and that would be it. But most poskim say that it should simply go against the far entrance over there.
A lot of times you can't put it over there.
So if you can't put it over there, so then you can put it over here. You would move it over there, and then if you can't do that, then you could. We can discuss Achrei Adalas and putting it somewhere else.
I think it's similar to the shadow that we had, the glass on top of the... I mean, it's the same sort of thing, but the window on the top of the building.
Yeah.
The glass
shouldn't count.
It's similar to that. You get glass that doesn't move, that's in the doorway, that takes up extra space.
But generally we ignore that glass. And if that was the case, then we should ignore that over here as well and not count it. And to put the mezuzah in the middle.
Yeah.
Here, there's an argument to say that. The last case the Chovas Hador says is very big glass doors that go into a hotel or a big building, where those big glass doors, so the pin that holds in the glass door is much further away from the door itself. In many of those cases, the mechanism that holds the entire glass door together is much further away when it opens up. And again, as well, in such a case, you have to decide, should the mezuzah go closer to where the pin of the glass door is, or should it go more over to the side of where the actual entranceway of the building is? These are the cases that he discusses. One is allowed to carve out a place in the wall and put the mezuzah in the wall, as we said. You can even cover up a place in the mezuzah. If, let's say, a person lived in a community where it was not safe to display one's Judaism like that, so you could carve out a hole in the wall, in the doorpost, cover it up, put the mezuzah inside, and simply have some sort of mark that only you would know that there's a mezuzah there. This is the shita of the Pisrei Tshuva, who cites the Yad HaKatana. There has to be a siman, somewhat recognizable, that something is there. Even if only you know about it, it has to be a siman that there's a mezuzah there. And this is cited by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch as well. Which now brings us to the most famous machlokas when it comes to mezuzah, and that is the slanting of the mezuzah. Does the mezuzah stand up, or is it horizontal? The Gemara Menachos Lamed Gimel is in the midst of a more complicated discussion regarding the technical halachas of writing a mezuzah and of putting it on the doorway. And Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav that the mezuzah is installed as a nagar, so it is not valid. And Rashi and Tosfos both debate here what is going on with this nagar, this pin, and that's attached to the door. So let's discuss Rashi first. Rashi says that the mezuzah that's problematic is a mezuzah that was installed horizontally, lying down, similar to a bolt which is inserted into a doorpost horizontally as well. And this placement of the mezuzah is pasul, because the mezuzah is supposed to be upright on the doorpost and not into it. And Rashi says, later in the next Dibur HaMaskil, Rashi says that if the mezuzah is placed partially upright and partially lying down at a 45-degree angle, like the bend of the joint in the hip, so that would be acceptable as well. So even Rashi admits that there's room to have a slant in the mezuzah. What?
Doesn't Rashi say...
Well, that's a machlokus what that is. The Rush seems to say this idea of that the hip bone could be slanted is not entirely clear what Rashi is describing. The Rush discusses what Rashi is saying. Rashi agrees that there's some leeway to what is supposed to look like. Rabbeinu Yohanan explains that the reason why inserting the mezuzah horizontally is unacceptable is because it's only proper kavod that the mezuzah should be standing upright, which is the same way a Sefer Torah should stand in the Aron Kodesh. And the Piskei Arid explains that lying the mezuzah horizontally is not good because the mezuzah, the cloth, is supposed to reflect the doorpost itself. Just like the doorpost is standing, so too the mezuzah that goes on the doorpost should be standing as well. Comes Rabbeinu Tam here in Tosos and again in the Sefer HaYashar and says that it's better to put the mezuzah lying down horizontally and placing it vertically is not respectful. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam holds that when the Gemara says that it's lying as a bolt in the door, it's puzzle. It means that it was placed vertically the way Rashi holds. And Rabbeinu Tam says that it's also better for the parchment and the tefillin to be put in lying down as well, horizontally. The Mordechai here in the Halachos Ketanos says that Rabbeinu Tam wrote that if he could afford it, he would build an Aron Kodesh, where all the Sifrei Torah would be lying down. And the Bach writes at the end of the Siman that he felt that to be Mekayim, the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam as well, that the Sifrei Torah and the Aron Kodesh should be put somewhat lying down on a slant as well. That's how you should build the Aron Kodesh. And that is why, if anyone has taken a tour of the Bell's Base Medrash in Yerushalayim, they will tell you when you take the tour that it is the only Aron Kodesh in the world that has the Sifrei Torah lying down. Why would Bell's Hasidim care if the Sifrei Torah are lying down or not? Why? Because the Bach was the Rav of Bell's. And the Belzer Rebbeim, the Admorim of Belz, were always careful to Makayim, the Shita and the opinion of the Bach. And therefore in Belz, they held, like the Bach, that the Sifrei Torah should be partially lying down as well. This is where the Bach writes, according to Rabbeinu Tam, they should be put, that the mezuzah should be placed horizontally. And the Mordechai also writes, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that one should carve out a hole in the doorpost with the mezuzah can be inserted that way. All the poskim pretty much follow Rashi, the Rush, the Rambam, the Yoreim, the Smag, the Mordechai, the Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon, and the Maaseh Rav, the Piskei Tshuva, the Ben Ish Chai, everyone holds like this. Now, there's a big discussion regarding, well, why don't we just look at what they did 2,000 years ago? Shouldn't that answer the question? So Rabbi Jachter has a piece in Gray Matter, Volume 3, which he discusses the impact of archaeology on halacha. Look over there. Professor Sperber has a piece in Minhagei Yisrael in the first volume, where he also discusses old doorposts and how that impacts the halacha as well. So you can see over there they discuss this issue. This brings us to the famous compromise of the Maharil. The Maharil writes in Siman Sadi Dalid that in order to fill both Shitas Rashi and Tosos and Rabbeinu Tam, the mezuzah should be put in a slant. This is cited by the Aguda and Menachos and the Trumas Hadesh and the Orchos Chaim, the Ramah, and the Shach and the Chayadim say the Minig Ashkenaz everywhere in every Ashkenaz community is to have the mezuzahs slanted to fill the Shita of both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. There is a lesser known Shita of the Ra'avya. The Ra'avya in Elef Kuf Nun says that one can choose to follow either Rashi or Tosos. But putting the mezuzah on a slant is a zero, because you're not putting the mezuzah correctly according to Rashi, and you're not putting the mezuzah according correctly to Rabbeinu Tam. And you're not being Mekayim anything, says the Rav Yah. And this issue is also raised by the Minchas Elazar and Chelek Aleph, and the Chazon Ish and the Orchos Rabbeinu. The Chovas Hador has a Shtickle Torah to answer up this question of the Rav Yah. The Chovas Hador says that the Rav Yah is mistaken in what Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are arguing about. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are not arguing about what is the kosher way that the mezuzah should be standing or slanted. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are arguing what's the wrong way to put up a mezuzah. It's wrong according to Rashi that the mezuzah should be horizontal. It's wrong according to Rabbeinu Tam that the mezuzah should be standing up. So if I put the mezuzah on a 45 degree angle, it's not wrong according to anyone. It's not being Mekayim, the Shita that says you should be sitting or lying down. It's just not doing it the wrong way. So if I put the mezuzah on the 45 degree angle, that's fine according to Rabbeinu Tam because it's not lying down. And it's fine according to Rashi. Rashi because it's not lying down, and it's fine according to Ben Tam because it is not standing up. So explains the Chovas Hador. I recall hearing in a Motzei Shabbos shir from Rav Avi Yosef, who said that if Ashkenazim and Sfarim are living together, then the Pesach and they share entranceways, so then obviously it should be standing up because the Ashkenazim are not doing it right anyway, and the mezuzah should be standing according to Maran Beit Yosef. However, the Agur Balach in Perakit Alv says that is not the case, and if there's one person in the group, then you should be slanted, right? The famous Vort, why is it in this case of Machlokas Rashi Ben Utam, we decide to compromise? So Rabbi Frand likes to point out, because the mezuzah represents the home and Shalom Bayis, and the message of compromise should be permeating when a person comes into the home. So says the Agur Balach, you have Machlokas and Ashkenazim and Sfardim, we should compromise and have the mezuzah slanted. How slanted should it be? So the Das Kedoshim and the Mikdash Ma'ad and the Agur Balach say that it depends on the person. You don't have to sit there with a micrometer and figure out exactly what's 45 degrees. Slant it enough that the person should be happy. There's no exact shear. However, the Chaznish and the Orchos Rabbeinu felt that the shita of the Gra was correct and that the mezuzah really should be standing. And therefore, when the Chazon Ish would put up his mezuzahs, he would just barely slant his mezuzahs just to fulfill the shita of the Menga Olam. But really, the Chazon Ish felt that it should probably be a bit more standing than slanted. What if the doorpost is very, very narrow and you cannot have the mezuzah slanting properly for us Ashkenazim? So in such a case, the Pisachei Teshuva cites the Adi Katan, who says that you can put the mezuzah standing up. A person should not, if you have a lichatchila place to put the mezuzah, so one should not move it to a bidyevet place just so you can have the mezuzah being slanted. It's better to have a lichatchila place on the doorpost and have the mezuzah standing up to fulfill the Shita of Rashi. This is what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes as well. Ad kan simen resh pei test. Let's do simen resh tzadi right now. What if the mezuzah falls down? Do we treat it like a Sefer Torah that falls? Do we treat it like tefillin that fall? So we have here a machlokas as well. Rav Chaim Palaji in the Shuvas Lev Chaim in Chela Gimel in simen kuf lamed aleph says the kedusha of the mezuzah is less than the kedusha of a Sefer Torah or tefillin. We see this from the Gemara Menachos Amud Beis and the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Simen Reish Tzadi that says a Sefer Torah o Tefillin Shabalu in Osim Mehem Mezuzah. If a Sefer Torah Tefillin become ruined, we don't turn them into mezuzah. Ve'en Kosen Osa al Gilyone Sefer Torah Lefi She'en Moridin Mikdusha Chamura LeKedusha Kala. The mezuzah is lesser Kedusha than the Sefer Torah, and therefore, because of its lower kedusha, one does not have to fast if the mezuzah falls on the floor. This is the shita of all the poskim as well. There's a shita of the Maharsham in Chelek Beis, where he says that the Lev Chaim She'ein Dvarav Muchrachim, he says Rav Chaim Palaji does not seem to have strong proofs, but it's unclear why. He doesn't say why Rav Chaim Palaji is not strong, and he seems to indicate that we should treat the mezuzah with more respect. And there's a Chuvas of the Shari Emes who says the mezuzah falls on the ground, you should fast, but that is certainly not the minhag. If the mezuzah falls on the floor, we do not fast. What about giving tzedakah? So Rav Moshe is quoting the Ole Yeshurin, you should give tzedakah if the mezuzah falls on the floor, and this seems to also be the implication of the Maharsham. The Maharsham agrees that you should also give tzedakah as well, and the Mishnah Halachos, and the Ber Moshe writes in the Chela Gimel, v'nachon shiitein chai prutos tzedakah, you should give 18 prutos to tzedakah. So 18 of whatever it is you're going to give, you should give if the mezuzah falls on the floor. And the Maharsham also writes that if you find a mezuzah that is ripped, one should fast as well. But since we don't fast, but we should certainly, if you find a mezuzah that's ripped, you should probably give tzedakah. What about the disposing of mezuzahs? Putting mezuzah in Geniza. You go to your local sofer and he tells you that it is not being mekayim all the proper shitos, and what do we do with it? Yeah. What? Yeah. Geniza. What do we do with it?
No, I'm saying the previous.
Oh, no. You wouldn't have to. No. That happened naturally on its own. The Gemara in Megillah Chavav tells us that a worn-out Sefer Torah should be placed in earthenware and then buried next to a Talmid Chacham or next to someone who at least learned something. It can't be a Talmid Chacham. And that is the proper kavod for a Sefer Torah. The Ran explains, why do we put these things inside of a vessel. So the Ran there in Megillah tells us that it stalls the decomposition of the Sefer Torah. We have something that is kadosh, it is not usable right now, and therefore we want to make sure that it retains its kedusha as long as possible. And we also put it with a Talmud Chacham because it gives it more kavod to the Sefer Torah. And it's unfortunate that Shem Shemayim becomes obliterated, even indirectly. And we want to delay the decomposition of Shem Shemayim and Kedusha for as long as possible. And this is Sayyid Lahalach and Arachayim and Kuf Mem Dalab. There is a great mistake that we make when it comes to Shemus. We mistakenly feel that the best thing you can do with Dvar Meshiva Kedusha, with Divrei Torah, is to put them in the ground. Get it out of the way as fast as possible, put it in the ground. But it's clear from the Gemara and the Ran that it's a bidiyevet. Really, l'chadchila, in the ideal world, we should be saving every single piece of Shem Hashem and every piece of Kedusha for as long as we can, until it gets to a point where it is hazardous and we just don't have the space, and only then do we put it in the ground. We shouldn't be running to bury Dvarim Shebikdusha. We need to keep them as long as we can. It's clear from the Gemara. This is we want to retain the Shem Hashem as long as possible. So the idea of running and going and putting in Shemus and putting in Shemus and putting in Shemus should only be b'diyeved after you have checked every other option and you cannot retain this material anymore. So what do we do now when it comes to mezuzahs? A person decides, I cannot hold on to the mezuzahs anymore. So what should you do with them? So we'll go in order of all the different parts of the mezuzah of what we should do with them. Let's discuss the most important part, the parshios. The Makoros and the Rishonim speak of burying Sifrei Torah. We find no mention in the Rishonim of burying mezuzahs. But we would assume that the same rules should apply. The Ginzei Kodesh, Rabbi Feinhandler, which is now the modern classic on the halachos of Shemus. So he writes there in Perek Tesvav. He says on his own, and in the name of Rav Yashiv, that the mezuzah must be disposed of and should be buried in a kli cheres, in earthenware vessel. However, there are other poskim who say, and this is probably more correct, Rav Vazin and Rav Yashiv also felt this way, that nowadays plastic is better than earthenware. A plastic container will keep the kedusha and the decomposition of the mezuzah much longer. And now I'd probably save it and save Shem Hashem for a much longer time. And therefore, they feel that a plastic container would be good. Yeah. I don't know if it was just simply as accessible to have a metal box. Nowadays, I think Kli Cheres was our Tupperware of back then. Like, we have Ziploc bags, they had Kli Cheres. So if we have a plastic container, that will keep it better. There's a very confusing psak from the father of the Ginzei HaKodesh, Rav Yisrael Pesach Feinlander, in his Shuvas Avnei Yashba in Chelek Dal, where he says, you can bury mezuzahs straight in the ground, without anything. I don't understand why. Nobody really comes to defend it, but there is such a shita amongst contemporary poskim. The Gemara Megillah Chavav Amabei says mezuzah covers need geniza as well. This is cited by the Shulchan Aruch, and the Bir Halacha cites the Gra, who says that anything that touches the item of Kedusha, even though it was only used for Shmira, has the status of Tashmishe Kedusha. So, therefore, the covers of the mezuzah should also be put in the ground as being Tashmishe Kedusha. But in our cases, very often we wrap our mezuzahs in the plastic wrap. So it's not really touching the cover anymore. So what do we do nowadays when our mezuzahs are touching the plastic wrap, not the actual fancy mezuzah cover that you have? So Rav Moshe is quoted, and also Rav Moshe Halberstam in the Pischei Mezuzahs, in the Chovas Hador as well, that the mezuzah cover needs geniza. Even in this case, when it's wrapped in plastic, it's considered Tashmishe Kedusha. And even though there's a plastic cover on the mezuzah, that would still be buttled to the rest of the mezuzah. And the mezuzah cover, which I have a feeling that most people are not aware of, should be put in the ground with the mezuzah as well. Rav Yashiv and Rissen Karelts are quoted in the Ginzei HaKodesh that the case only needs geniza if it was a very nice cover. It was a very chashuv of a cover, because that was being mechabed the mezuzah, and it was being meshamesh the mezuzah and enhancing it. If it was a simple cover, then it's only tashmishei mitzvah. It doesn't have the same status as Tashmishei Kedusha, and there's no Kedusha after the mezuzah is removed, and it doesn't need Geniza. So they want to be mechalek a fancy cover versus a not fancy cover. I don't know who would put a fancy cover in the ground, but they say that such a cover would need to be put in the ground. The plastic around the mezuzah is certainly Tashmishei Kedusha, and it needs Geniza, and this is the shita of all of the poskim. The Ginzei HaKodesh says that if there's two wraps of plastic around the mezuzah, the outer wrap doesn't need it, only the inner wrap does. I never saw it with two plastic wraps. What about the nails used to hold up the mezuzah? So certainly that does not need Geniza, because they are at best tashmish to tashmish. It's facilitating the facilitator, or maybe tashmish a mitzvah. It doesn't need Geniza, and this is the opinion of most poskim. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was machmer not to throw out the nails, but that is certainly not the minhag. The same halach would apply to the tape or the glue as well. And then finally, the Levushei Mordechai says that one does not have to be worried that the doorposts of the house need Geniza. Let's say you had doorposts that had mezuzahs on them, and now you're doing construction and the doorpost is removed. You can throw the doorposts along with the rest of the stuff, and it does not need to be buried in the ground. The Yagur Balacha says in Parak Dalet that when mezuzah becomes puzzle, it should be put in Geniza in a place where there's no chashash that someone may take it and resell it and try to cheat people out with. And he then says there are those who recommend cutting out the makom psul so it cannot be resold. That is in fact a machlokas again. The Shevet Alevi Nechelaches says it's a proper minhag to cut out the psul before burying the mezuzah, and this was the custom in Salonika. And he says this is the opinion of the Ginzei HaKodesh as well. And there's a sefer called the Mori Yishenim and Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Shaar HaTzion said it's not proper to go turning Devarim Shebikdusha into an art project in which you cut pieces of mezuzah out. And therefore, he says simply to put the mezuzah away properly where no one can find the mezuzah.